Nothing new, Jim.
Yeah, nothing new. All right. Tim Kearns, Jim Rudloff here. Tim Kearns, of course, our superb MSO analyst, and Jim Rudloff, the coach of Marblehead High School. Jim, first thing to say is absolutely congratulations.
Thank you. Feels great.
So much to talk about, Coach. I kind of want to start by looking at where you were a year ago at this time. Because a year ago at this time, everything was up in the air. Everything was kind of tenuous, and we didn't really even have Fall 2 on the horizon. So do me a favor and kind of look back to where you were then and all the stuff that's transpired since then to get you where you are.
Yeah, it's been a wild year, you know, because both seasons were absolutely compressed together. There really wasn't a break between the Fall 2 season and then the actual fall season that we just completed. But moving into the year, you know, as the winter progressed, and we knew obviously we weren't having the fall, but we had gotten word that if everything went well, we were going to have the spring season. You know, it was trying to find any way, shape, or form that you could get together with your team, because the MIAA had provided rules and guidance that allowed you to work a little bit with the team. So, you know, obviously during the winter season and with the COVID rules, getting inside the gym or anything like that was really impossible. So everything had to be outside, and we were pretty fortunate that the winter was mild, and we did get an opportunity to go outside a few times in December. I don't think in January we ever got a chance to go outside, but Coach Dombowski down at Milton started an indoor 7-on-7 league down in Weymouth. And we joined up for that. The kids had to be masked up, and all the COVID rules were in place at that time for those protocols. And that was a tremendous help to be able to get the kids together and do that through the winter. And then when the spring season started, we actually had one of the few groups of kids that were playing together and were throwing the ball, catching the ball, and defending. So that really helped us into the spring season. The kids were all lifting at home, trying to do a workout program that we were providing them with, but we didn't have access to a weight room. And so the spring season went well for us. We went 7-0. And then, you know, with maybe a month off, June, you know, was around the corner. And that gets you right into the college camps, the kids going to different places and trying out. And so football really began, you know, a month later after that. And, you know, it just rolled into this past fall.
Jim, the contributions of your seniors in Fall 2, how did that affect this team in this actual fall of 2021?
It's a great question, because they are such a big part of what we just accomplished. Those guys, especially with everything that had happened and everything that they persevered through, really set a tremendous example for the team that we had this fall. We had a number of kids do things like Cam Janik, who now is playing sprint football for University of Pennsylvania. He was a 100 and, you know, maybe 80-pound middle linebacker and running back for us. We didn't have enough linemen, and he ended up starting and playing every single game at right guard for us. You know, sacrifices like that. He was Tim Cronin's backup the year before at running back. And, you know, sacrifices like that just really, you know, that made an impression on the kids that we had this fall. And we had a lot of kids make sacrifices like that this fall. And it went, you know, without a hiccup because of the example set by the kids that came before them.
Great, great story. And I'm going to let Tim jump in here in a minute. But, and we'll also talk about Tim's brother, Connor, who was just unfreaking believable. But Coach, I have a question I want to ask you about, because, you know, as you know, Paul Ingram is a good friend of mine and also of Tim Kearns. And when you first started coaching, Paul was sort of at the end of the run of an incredible series of successes at Gloucester High School. And you guys scrimmaged Gloucester before you actually played them, I believe, back then. You scrimmaged them every fall. Do you remember that?
Yeah, absolutely I do.
Silly question. All right. But now...
It was critical to building Marblehead's program, because Marblehead, under Coach Chernovitz, who was before me, had just turned a corner into becoming a much tougher football program. But the scheduling was still for the Northeast Conference small, which Marblehead was in at that time. And so I just felt we couldn't schedule Gloucester, but it was really important to scrimmage Gloucester because they were at that time, you know, going to the Super Bowl for the Northeast Conference Large.
Mm-hmm.
And it was critical just to send that message to the kids that this is where we're going. This is, you know, what the goal is.
All right. I got to turn it over to Tim for a question or two here now, but, 20 wins in a row, you know, 20 straight, 19-0 in this particular calendar year, Super Bowl Division III champions, state champions, along with your arch rival Swampscott. I want to get to that later on. Tim, what have you got for Coach Rudloff?
Oh, geez, thanks, Rick. Congratulations, Coach. Great achievement, yourself, the kids.
I was
looking at one of the pictures in the Salem News, and you're sitting next to the kids, and the three kids that were in the picture, I was thinking, how did they pull this off? These guys look so small. Hearts of Lions is what you have to have when I'm looking at a couple of those kids and going, you know, they just didn't, yeah, they weren't big, beefy, but obviously they had it all where it counted, in the head and in the heart.
Yeah, it's a great compliment, and they are not big. It's probably one of the smallest teams, if not the smallest that I've ever coached. But you know, underneath those pads, like Josh Robertson, if I hit him with my car would be damaged. He's built like a brick, you know what, and that's all from work in the weight room. And I give Josh a hard time about, you know, he works. He puts extra effort into his calves, because that's, you know, a point of emphasis for him. But he's just a strong kid for someone that looks like he's tiny. But at the same time, we had one offensive lineman who's 220 pounds, but the rest of the offensive line was under 200 pounds. And you know, we took that to the Super Bowl, and I'm really proud of that because those kids, you know, that really does show their heart, you know, more than anything else. And really also the coaching of our assistant, or our line coach, one of my assistants, Nick Broton, does such a great job with the offensive line. You know, and especially when you just see how big those kids are, it's really impressive.
You know, you mentioned the kids went to that, passing league that put together down in Weymouth. How did you get the kids to Weymouth to play in this every week? Did the school support you?
No, see, in order to do it, it was an independent league where the kids had to sign up. So every single kid had to sign up individually as an individual, which meant that they also had to provide their own transportation.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't a Marblehead thing, and that was the way to be able to do any league, whether they were doing an indoor lacrosse league or an indoor basketball leagues, was nobody could sign up as a team. So it had to be done on an individual basis. And then, you know, of course, they put the kids together from the same towns. But the kids drove themselves down there every Saturday that the league happened. It was, you know, but again, easy when you realize that we're in the middle of something where these kids aren't being given the opportunity to do anything. So it really made the kids eager and, you know, willing to jump at the chance to do something like that.
Coach, the Super Bowl and the Thanksgiving Day games, probably two of the most, three of the most memorable games, I think, in the history of the Northeastern Conference, period, bar none. And I'm including, of course, Swampscott Marblehead, and I'm including Swampscott North Reading, and then your game against North Attleboro. And, you know, you mentioned the size of your kids. I want to get to the Super Bowl game and then maybe work backwards a little bit. You know, you guys had a 28-14 lead. I did not see Connor Cronin's catch in the first half, but I saw that one in the second half. But, Coach, it looked a little bit like there. When you were up 28-14, it looked a little bit like maybe your guys were wearing down a little bit. So bring me along in that second half, the sequence of events, when they came back to knot it up and then you guys pulled away.
Yeah, going into the game, North Attleboro, we knew, you know, exactly what they were. They were going to be they wanted to pound the ball, you know, on every single play and be a lot more physical than us. They had some, you know, size advantage on us, obviously. So our goal was to get out front, you know, and be able to score quickly and make sure we don't put ourselves in a position where, we're allowing them to run the ball on every single down. We want to, you know, get the advantage sort of in our favor. So going into the second half, we felt really good about at least where we were in that standpoint, that we've accomplished that to that point, but that we needed to come out quickly. They were receiving the kickoff, so, you know, that obviously made things difficult, but we were able to pin them in their end, force a third and long. Liam McElroy intercepted the ball, and we were able to convert almost immediately, for a touchdown. And once that happened, you know, we felt good again about where we were. We needed to be ahead of North Attleboro to be successful, be able to, you know, sort of absorb the pounding that they were going to give us, but know that they were under the clock, as they were doing that, and put a little bit of added pressure on them. So, but that really helped us, that quick score at the half, you know, and then, from there, North Attleboro got rolling on their offense, but it also gave us some time to do some things too as well.
The play. It was like watching something on a Major League Super Bowl. Connor Cronin, and let's talk about him, Coach, because you know, when you talked after the game with the Salem News, he did everything, including that play. But it was so much more than just him, including Josh Robertson, the throw, the line protection, and so on. So take us through that play, if you would, please.
Sure. Coach Giardi did a really nice job on this too, up in the booth. He and Coach Nick Broughton, who's our line coach, we always get together earlier in the week. We talk about what plays we want to run, and we actually put the script of the game. You know, that was a Thursday game, so we did that probably on Monday night of what we wanted to do, and that way we could get a chance to run all those plays in practice. So one of the things we talked about specifically was Coach Broughton was adamant on third down, when this blitz comes, we have to be ready for it. So right before, as we were, you know, talking about that play in particular, you know, both Broughton and Giardi right away said that, you know what, they're going to send the two guys in the A-gap. You know, we need to have one of these plays ready. So the play that we called was just a screen to our number two receiver outside. It's just a basic air raid offense screen, nothing fancy, but what really happened was that every single kid executed perfectly on it and made very, very specific blocks on very specific players. And just, it was beautiful to watch, you know, when you watch the film of it. And then Shane Keough, the wide receiver, continued to block the cornerback down the field. Everyone did such a tremendous job, and that it really was 11 kids scoring that touchdown. But, you know, Connor's unbelievable. He didn't really have to do a whole lot. He had to avoid one linebacker that was trying to punch the ball out on him on that. And other than that, just, you know, run away from everybody else because the blocking was so good. And I don't want to take anything away from what Connor did, but, you know, he had the easiest job on that play when you see what everyone else did. It was really a great play to watch. Very proud as a coach.
Well, he gave credit to everybody. Tim?
Okay, so how do you cut this?
Yeah, it's great question.
Undefeated season, Super Bowl. Are you going to Disney World, Coach?
No, I wish I could. You know, no, it's just we'll take a week off and then start getting the kids rallied up again to get back in the weight room, the ones that aren't participating in a winter sport. And then I work with Coach Giardi. We're going to put together a weight training program for the basketball team that is something that's conducive also to help the kids out that are football players. And the rest of our teams do a good job getting the kids in the weight room. So hopefully the kids will be in good shape when the spring comes, and we'll go from there and just see what happens. Hope, you know, it's going to be impossible to top what happened this year, but, we're still going to push to have the best possible season we can next year.
Coach, talk about the significance of Swampscott, Marblehead, Thanksgiving rivals, state champions from the same league in the same year, and the effect of the Thanksgiving Day game, because it speaks to the difficulty of schedule in getting there with two teams from two divisions, and you guys virtually had a tie game there until the last second. Talk about that in terms of the historical significance, Jim, because everything that's gone on the last week, it's hard to put it in perspective, and it's hard to just grasp what you guys and Swampscott, if I can add them, have done.
Yeah, no, Swampscott had an incredible year this year, and really credit goes to Swampscott and, you know, from my point of view, to Swampscott and all of the teams in the NEC large this year, because of their play, both Swampscott and Marblehead had the success that they did. We played against really good teams this year, and that made us better. And it sickens me to say it, but Swampscott, the playing against Swampscott was the key to us winning the Super Bowl. Playing against a team that was that tough, that nasty, you know, and that smart, you know, made us a better football team and made us, you know, certainly propelled us to the win in the Super Bowl. And I have no problem saying that. As difficult as it is for me to give them credit.
I get that. I know. So finally, Jim, what's up now? There have to be some celebrations and some awards and all that stuff going on for your kids.
Yeah, you know, we'll do our team banquet, which will take some time to plan this year. You know, you want to get it right. It's special for the kids, and you want it to be that way. So we'll take some time planning that. And then I know that some of my players, I'm fortunate enough to have won awards, that they'll have awards nights and things like that that we'll go to. And that's going to be, you know, that's going to be a lot of fun. You know, anything like that, and where the attention is on the kids and you're able to show you know, just show other, you know, you want to always be able to demonstrate to the youth and to the younger kids that may be thinking about playing football that this is a really, you know, a really smart option for them.
Tim?
Well, you know, you're so right. The success of the team is the last year certainly has helped you in convincing kids to play. I won't say recruit because that's a bad word. You really... You know, you do some recruiting within your own school. You know, public schools don't do it generally outside of the school. But inside the school, you got a kid with some size. Maybe you've seen a kid, you know, running around the gym and you're going, I could maybe use that kid. And the success of the team becomes a selling point for the kids that are in the school that are, you know, maybe a little hesitant to go out questioning their own ability. But seeing some of the other kids that are chipping in, that are on the team, they go, maybe I
can
do this.
Exactly. Yeah, and even more tangible to the kids, something that they can see directly are kids that, you know, because we're battling against Sinker and Prep. You know, the last Super Bowl MVP for St. John's Prep was a kid from Marblehead, Rocket, who's now playing at Brown. So
yeah, that's a familiar name.
We've lost some key kids to the Prep, and you want to make sure that, you know, with all due respect to the Prep, because everyone knows what you're getting from the Prep. You're getting, you know, the top program maybe in the state and the facilities and everything. You can't beat that. But what you want to say is, hey, you know, that maybe, you know, maybe if you stay here, you're going to be a star. You know, you'll play at the Prep, but maybe here, you know, this is a little bit different. This is a little different level. We'd like to compete with the Prep, but at the same time, maybe if you stay here in Marblehead, you'll start both ways and be a star. So, you know, being able to show that, and then as Tim said, which is brilliant, you know, a lot of those kids that are getting in on special teams for us or getting in for a play here or a series there are kids that would maybe not even make the varsity at the Prep. So, you know, it's good for them to go to the games, the younger guys, and see all their kids, see their older brother or see their cousin or their friends or their neighbors out there having success and having fun, and, you know, reporting back to them that it's definitely a good choice to do when you're in high school.
Jim, final comments, please. Go ahead, Tim.
You guys still do jackets for the kids?
Yeah, it's funny though. We're in the process now of trying to figure out what to do for the Super Bowl, and we've always done the tradition at Marblehead has always been the Letterman jacket, and
right.
So. The nice thing about that is, you know, I don't think there's ever been a kid that's earned his letter that played football that didn't get his Letterman jacket. So you see them all over the place. You know, but you know, not everyone gets a Letterman jacket. So we do, you know, every now and then, whatever the kids want to order, they might get hoodies or they might, you know, there's been years that we've gotten jackets, but it's not a regular thing that we do where we just get jackets for the football team.
Jim, as we close this out, please tell me, how much this means to you, to the kids, to the parents, and to the community, because I can tell you that everybody I speak to around the North Shore, we're just so happy and proud of the seasons plural that you guys have put together, but also the fact that, you know, you've culminated this with a championship, and what does it mean to you personally and to your kids?
Oh, the world. You know, especially, you know, we're blessed in a way that it happened this year. You know, because it really is two seasons in a row. I think the only shame of it is that the seniors from the spring didn't get to be a Gillette with us. But, you know, for this year, it's just, you know, to put all that work in, it's the hardest that any group of kids, any group of coaches has ever worked. And that means the guys at Beverly and Swampscott and Danvers, they all worked as hard too. You know, we all did. And the amount of work that was put into being able to have that spring season and then going into this fall season, there's so much that goes into it, and the kids sacrifice so much, and they're still getting good grades, and they're still doing the things they're supposed to do. It's tremendous. So to top it off with a win at the end, the feeling is indescribable, because for the first time, you know, you get to the end and you've accomplished everything that you, every goal that you set, and that's rare that gets to happen. So it's special for these guys.
Yeah, not only that, it's not just Eastern Massachusetts champions anymore; it's state champions. So that's phenomenal. Hey, Jim, thanks so much, man, for talking with us all season long and teaching us so much about football, and really appreciate this. But more than anything, congratulations to you and all the kids over there at Marblehead Football.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. It's so much fun to be on and just talk football.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon, Jim. Thank you.
All right. See you. Good night.
Take care. Good night.
Thanks, Tim.